They're thinking more along the lines of cast judgment on a situation before they know the whole thing, you know. I manage, and a lot of us managed to participate in jury duty a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, they brought me in a room, and here I was, man, I was nervous. And some of our courtrooms, even if I'm not guilty, I still get nervous in them, you know what I mean? And so I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden this judge comes out in his robe, you know, and you know, then I start thinking, man, does he have a whole suit underneath that? It must be hot under that thing. Is he completely dressed? You know, my mind's just going everywhere. I said, I hope it doesn't fall off, and you know. And so, you know, I'm sitting there, and they show us a video, and they talk about the Seventh Amendment, and they said, you know, everybody has a right to trial by jury. And so, you know, to determine their guilt or their innocence in a criminal trial. Man, I got a lesson. I'm sitting back. I'm saying, I'm enjoying this, you know. And the best part, of course, came when they brought us up and they asked us all kind of questions, if we knew anything about the case. And, you know, and the judge said, we're just going to have a private conversation. You'll be able to stand here and have a private conversation with me. I thought, well, I look forward to that. That's good. I don't mind talking one-on-one. And then they brought me to a corner, and all of a sudden I had one guy standing over here looking at me like this with a pad. And then next to him was another guy with a pad. Next to him were two people over here with a pad. And then I had a guy with a microphone in my face. And I said, this is the most public-private conversation I have ever had. And so finally we go through the whole thing, and he says, you know, yeah, you don't have to, you're going to the jury pool, that means you get to go. And I said, well, that means that you probably have to go to another court building. So I asked the matron who was running, I said, where do I go from here? She says, you go home. I said, really? And then the best news came when I called work and they said, no, you're paid for the whole day, so you don't have to come in. I said, really? I said, you know, that was a lot of fun. So anyway, I'm often amazed how people are willing to pass judgment quickly. It's human nature, you know. We look at situations, and rather than listening to the whole thing, we're all of a sudden ready to pass judgment. Here are the disciples in the same situation. It's almost like, you know, they're next to Jesus, so they want to impress him, you know. And so, you know, and people do that. It's amazing how people's behavior changes regarding whoever they're next to, you know. The behavior becomes a little different, you know. Like, your children will behave real good at somebody else's house, but what is it when they're in yours? You know, sometimes you ask, well, how did they do? They did real good. You say, did you have my kids over here? You sure they were my kids? You know, but no, I'm just saying that. But, you know, you wonder, and it amazes me how people behave. And here they're with Jesus, the master, and all of a sudden, here's the question. Who did sin? Did his man, or that his parents were born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. You know the reason why God allows certain things to happen in life? Sometimes, you know, even sickness, for example. There is a sickness that we're going to die from, sickness unto death. And can I surprise you? You're not here to live forever. You know, did you find that out? None of us. I mean, that's why we got saved. Amen. I got saved because I wanted eternal life with Jesus Christ. And that's the only way I'm promised eternal life. There's a sickness where we know that God will bring certain events in a person's life, certain sicknesses because of judgment. That does happen. We saw that in Scripture, right? We saw Naaman, the leper. But here, for this purpose, this sickness is for the glory of God. In other words, God's going to do something great. There's, you know, God's going to prove who he is. There's certain things God allows in our life, not just because he wants to punish us, because he wants to prove his greatness. I serve a great God, a loving God that was willing to take, listen, my sins to Calvary. And all of a sudden, look at what Jesus does. What Jesus said, that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God's going to do something wonderful, manifestational. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I like how Jesus refers to himself as the I am the light of the world. Over and over in the book of John, you will see that phrase, I am. It's interesting that when Moses asked, he says, Lord, when they asked me your name, when Moses was in the mountain and he saw that fiery bush, and he said, when they asked me your name, what should I say? And God said to him, tell them I am that I am. In other words, everything you need, everything, I am the eternal God. I am here and I am present. Amen? I'm glad that I am is with us today. Amen? I'm glad about that. I am the light of the world. He refers to himself as the light of the world. So therefore, for the light to shine brightest, there must be a darkness, shouldn't there? So here Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. Now, there's three things in this chapter I want you to see. Number one, I want you to see the misery of the sightless man. Can you imagine what it is? And I know, but what it is to be blind, we can't imagine it. But can you imagine this man, number one, was blind from his birth. First of all, he needed to learn how to fend for himself. And by the sounds of it, it sounds like it was a poverty-stricken family. He was begging. They couldn't support him. He saw a man that was blind from birth. He was there begging. And so we see that he is there in this place. We saw that it was something from his faith. We see that his begging in verse 8, we're told that. He says, the neighbors therefore, and they which had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this that sat and begged? So from his birth, he had a very miserable life because of a sickness that was not his fault. You ever feel like life is unfair? You know, some of us tend to judge God that way. You know, well, why did this have to happen to me? I want you to know, listen, we're in a sinful world, amen? And this sinful world really belongs to the devil. And because of sin, all these things came in. And listen, God now is trying to show the light in the midst of the darkness. He says, while I'm in the world, I'm in the light of the world. Now, Jesus does something here amazing. He spits on the ground, and he makes clay, and he rubs it upon the man's eyes. Then he says to him, go wash at the pool of Siloam, which is sent. Now, he's blind, isn't he? Yeah. Number one, I figured he must have known the way there. All right, like most people do, I notice that there are certain people that count their steps, and that's how they get from point to point and direction to direction. And you know, but he knew the way. Spitting on the clay. Can you imagine if somebody right now came up to you and said, hey, listen, let me take care of your problem. Let me spit on the ground. Now, first of all, he didn't know that he had spit on the ground because he was blind. But he takes the clay and he anoints his eyes. And he says, go wash. Now, listen, here's a great thing that I see here. First of all, he didn't question it, did he? Did he have every right to question that direction? Yes, he did. Well, I'm blind. How am I going to get there? No. Straight away, the Bible says he went. It's interesting that when God makes a request, he doesn't question it. He just goes ahead and does it. You know that sometimes we that are in the Christian life have a tough time because we haven't learned that rule yet. He said, go wash at the pool of, and then but when interpretation said he went, therefore he washed, and what? Obedience pays off. He came back seeing. What was his problem? His blindness. What was his cure? Jesus, amen? And he washed, and he came back seeing. He didn't question it. He didn't ask, how am I going to get there? Where's the nearest taxi? He just went. Now, God, Jesus could have taken him there. I don't know, but I know he went. And he washed, and he did according to what. And listen, what a witness it became. Are the works of God going to be manifest? Yeah. Because first of all, now his neighbors see him. You know, when it's amazing to me, when people get saved, the change that happens in their life, the difference that you see. Aren't you glad for those miracles that you see when people get saved? You know, coming to Christ, I see people come to Christ, and all of a sudden, certain things change in their lives, you know. There ought to be a change, something evident that happens the day you got saved. You know, when I got saved, those cuss words didn't feel the same anymore. Amen? When I got saved, listen, there's certain behaviors that I did not practice because that I didn't find pleasure in those things anymore. But all of a sudden, the witness of this man is what? That he was blind, and now he sees the obvious. Sometimes we miss things because of the obvious. You know, one of the favorite phrases of my children is, Captain Obvious. When someone does something that they already know, how did you figure that out, Captain Obvious? I like that phrase. I kind of use it once in a while on them, you know? It's one of the great things. So therefore, first of all, he was seen by his neighbor. So we see the misery of the blind man. We see his birth. We see that he was born that way. And can I tell you this? That even though he was not guilty of committing sin, we are born with sin. Yeah. Do you know that? The Bible says it. Listen, I didn't have to teach my kids to misbehave. They kind of learned that all on their own. You ever notice that? That's why we have correction, amen? Sometimes we got to correct them. But it's interesting how they pick up certain things and you go, where did that little stinker learn that? Like lying. Right? May I tell you that I became very proficient with lying? Are you confessing? Yeah, I am. Because then I saw it in the lives of my kids. They wanted to avoid the spanking, right? Or the judgment. So what was the alternative? Well, let's get somebody else in trouble. Then I found out, see, and I don't know if it was a girl, mostly, I'm not going to mention her name, don't want to incriminate, but my only daughter was good at pinning the blame on somebody else. I mean, I've heard things that they've done when I wasn't there that surprised me. I found out that they took Alex and put him in a suitcase and pushed him down the stairs. I found that later on. It's amazing what family reunions uncover, you know. But I'm also amazed that, listen, those little stinkers have sin. You know why they have a sin nature? Because they got it from me. Because we, since the time of Adam, all have been born with a sin nature. We all have it. And I don't care how good you think of yourself, you have a sin nature. In fact, the book of Isaiah says that we are pretty much unrighteous, that all our righteousness is as filthy rags. We all have a sin problem. All of us. There's only one cure to the sin problem. Here, this man was exposed to the light. How? He just came across Jesus. What an exposure, huh? Hey, listen, if you're blind and you're going to come across anybody, if you have a problem and you're going to come across anybody, man, how it changes when you come across Jesus. Go wash. And he came by with his sight, and all of a sudden, people began to take notice. First of all, his neighbors saw it. And they said, isn't he that was born blind? Isn't he that begged? And some said, it's him. Others said, no, it's like him. And all of a sudden, what does he say? It's me. Man, no greater witness for Jesus Christ than your own life and your own testimony if you're saved today. He says, first of all, it's me. Yeah, it's me. I was the blind one. I was the one that couldn't see. And listen, he said, all of a sudden they asked him, how were your eyes open? How is it that you received this miracle? And I love his answer. A man that is called Jesus made clay. You're going to see how his answer changes, by the way, as he approaches certain people. First of all, he was exposed to the light. And when they asked him, he said, hey, it's a man called Jesus. He came by, he spat on the ground, made clay, put clay in my eyes, and man, hey, I'm able to see. That's what I know. That's all I can tell you right now. I'm glad about that. You know what? He was full of information, wasn't he? And all he talked about was what he had experienced. There's no greater testimony, there's no greater witness for the Lord than your own experience. How you came to get saved. How the moment happened that Jesus Christ came into your heart. I remember it was June 1st, 1980. And I had, listen, this is amazing. I stopped going to church. I didn't want to go. My folks would come to me every night, 18 years old. You want to go to church today? No. I got rebellion. I tell you what, I was in rebellion. But all of a sudden, as I walk in this, my mother said, well, if you're not going, I'm praying. And she just kept behind me. For 6 months, all I heard was, if you're not going, I'm praying. And I remember walking by her room and her weeping and in tears. And all of a sudden, I was walking up my high school graduation in June 1st, 1980. And boy, it just hit me. What am I going to do with my life? I'm a sinner. And the gospel started hitting me. And I tell you, I went home right after graduation, knelt next to my couch, asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me. I remember the day. I was pretty good. I was doing some, you know, I wasn't that bad of a kid. Everybody told me, you're not that bad of a kid. But hey, I was still a sinner. And had Jesus come, I still would have gone to hell. But I'm glad, listen, I'm glad that he had mercy in my life and he opened my eyes, amen? He opened my eyes. Now listen, he was exposed to the light. First of all, he says, it's a man called Jesus. But see, sometimes we have to get beside the point of just, beyond the point of just knowing. You know, a lot of people know about Jesus. Isn't that amazing? You know, a lot of people in church this morning, in different churches that know about Jesus, okay, are talking about Jesus, but never got beyond that point. Can I tell you, if you're here today and you're hoping on your own goodness to get you to heaven, and let me give you an easier route. Get saved. Amen. Jesus made a way for everybody. If I counted on my own goodness to get saved, I would have never gotten saved. I needed Jesus. Hey, listen, here's the good news. Anybody can be saved as long as they're willing to have faith in the Savior. Here he comes and he says, first of all, he was exposed. He knew he was. In verse 10, he says, a man called Jesus. And then in verse 13 and 17 through 17, look, they brought to him the Pharisees. They brought him before the religious crowd because they went to his parents. He said the same story. They brought him to the Pharisees who aforetime was blind, him that aforetime was blind. And it was on the Sabbath day when Jesus made clay and opened his eyes. And again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received this sight. And he said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and he washed and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Then said unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. It is interesting how the first people that criticize are what? The religious crowd. You know, the world is full of religion today. Here's my problem with religion. Religion is just a ritual for the outside, but it does nothing for the heart. Religion is man's way trying to reach God. You know, here I am, God, take notice of me. What's the difference? Jesus has already reached down to us. The real gospel is that Jesus has come down and reached down to us to save us from our sin. Here, this religious crowd is concerned about one thing, the rituals. He healed them on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to do healing on the Sabbath. We have specified days on the calendar just for healing. If he can't heal you within that time, then he's no good. Right? There's people that are full of rituals. You know, we're going to church this Sunday. You know, we're going to put our money in the offering. And man, God's going to be happy with us. Amen. We're going to do our little singing. Get before a little statue, say a couple of, you know, whatever, Mary's, hail, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we're out the door, back to the same life we had when we began. And may I submit to you that some of us are in the same boat sometimes. You know, we come to church, we act a certain way, we leave, and nothing has changed. But for this man, his experience was real. He was blind. But now he sees. I tell you, this is the amazing thing. First of all, he says, he is a prophet. Then he gets past beyond that point. You know, we got to get past the point of religion to knowing Jesus. We got to get the, religion. One time, I heard the story of a man who, of a family who was christening their babies, and they had a big party over their home, and you know, they came over for the celebration, and they put the baby on the bed. Well, they people, as they came in, began to throw their coats on the bed, and the baby was smothered, and their celebration turned to tragedy. Because what they were there to celebrate, they snuffed out. And I want you to know, religion may celebrate Jesus, but it knows nothing about Jesus. It snuffs out the light of the world. My friend, if you're here religious, looking to get to heaven, you're not going to get there. Amen? That's not what God said. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm in that expression again. I am. He's the only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Every religion in the world has their, you know, their symbols or whatever. I look at the Buddhist religion. You know what they did with Buddha? They encased him in gold. And he's still sitting there in gold. Boy, that's, you know, if that's a living God, he's doing nothing but sitting down. Muhammad's bones are still in the musk, amen? But Jesus' tomb is empty. I want you to know, listen, if you want something to change your life, if you want an experience to change your life, you need to come to Jesus Christ. And get beyond the point of just knowing about him. Get beyond the point of getting religion. Get to the point of experience. What is experience? Experience is a new birth. Experience is coming to know that he's your personal savior. First, a realization that you are a sinner. We all are, amen? For we all have sinned and we come short of the glory of God. Secondly, a realization that he paid the penalty for my sin. I'm glad Jesus paid it all to him I owe. He died for my sins. When I was yet without hope, Jesus died for me. And then I need to receive him. I need to experience him. Listen, he got to the point where Jesus came to him. And all of a sudden, you know, it's interesting how when Jesus got to him, and maybe I'll take you in the verse ahead, but all of a sudden he was cast from the synagogue. They didn't want him there because they thought he was one that spoke treason because he knew Jesus Christ. And let me pick it up in verse 22. These words spake his parents. First of all, his parents, when they were questioned about him, wasn't he that was born blind in verse 19, they said, and then his parents answered, we know that he's our son, we know that he was born blind, but by what means how he seeth, we don't know. What a shame. They didn't know. They never experienced a full religion. He is of age. Ask him. And then when they asked him, his parents, of course, were feared that they may put out from the synagogue. That day, if you confessed Christ or had anything to do with Jesus Christ, you were thrown out from religious circles. Hey, listen. We profess salvation by faith here. A lot of people don't agree with us, you know. A lot of people don't like the get excited about Jesus thing. Hey, I got something to get excited about. I go to a ball game, I'm excited for my team. I see the Red Sox, I root for the Red Sox. Amen. Amen. If you're a Yankee fan, God help you. But there's forgiveness in the Lord. But anyway, you know, I like my New England teams, you know. I get behind the Celtics, I see Green jumping up and down that court, I get excited, you know. They miss and foul, I go, wow! Norman's been at the football game with my children. When they make a good point, we scream and holler, don't we, Norman? But listen, I get excited about Jesus. It's more than just a religion. It's more than just a ritual. Hey, it's a life-changing experience to come to know Jesus Christ. Get beyond your religion. If all you're hoping on religion, it ain't going to make you happy. That's terrible English. It isn't going to make you happy. Amen? But come to Christ and experience him for yourself. And man, it'll be like opening the eyes of the blind. Interesting, we sing a song in Spanish that there is no worse blindness than having your own sight and not being able to see. And there's people in that condition today. They have their sight, but their hearts are filled with darkness because they know not the Lord. And then all of a sudden, listen, they asked him again, and all of a sudden they cast him from the synagogue. We pick it up in verse 26, then said to him again, what did he to thee? And he opened thine eyes, and he answered and said, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore should you, would you hear it again? Would you also be his disciples? Man, this guy had guts. And they reviled him and said unto him, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know God spake unto Moses. For this fellow, we know not from where he is. Isn't it terrible that a church can know about God, have a lot of religion, but still miss Jesus? We have Moses. We understand his law. We understand everything about the law. We're familiar with that. Who do you have? Listen, all he has is an experience. All I know is, as the song says, I was blind, but now I see. That's all I know about what I have experienced in my own life. And then all of a sudden he makes a striking response. He says, now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, him does his will. They try to come up with an explanation. Him he heareth. Since the world began, it's not heard of any man open the eyes of the one who was born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. And they answered and said unto him, that was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. It's interesting that when they got rid of his religion, he found Jesus. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. They cast him out, and Jesus heard they cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered and said, who is the Lord that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee. Listen, this is the beautiful thing of this. This is the wonderful thing of this. He got beyond the point of hearing about Jesus. He got the point of beyond the point of knowing about Jesus. He got beyond the point of the religious experience. And he got to the point where he met with Jesus. Who is he? And he said, I am he. This man knew one thing about his own life, what he had experienced. And when he came to that point, listen, he said, I said unto him, thou have both, and he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. I believe at that point, he was saved. Just like at the point where you come to your own realization. Here's the thing about Jesus Christ. He is a personal Savior. Everyone has to receive him personally. Well, my parents were religious. I've been a Baptist all my life. Hey, listen, you can have it all, but still miss the whole thing. It's not till he experienced, until he found the Lord for himself, that he was saved. It's not till you come to Jesus Christ with the decision to be born again that you can be saved. Because let me tell you right now, let me tell you where you are right now. The Bible says if you're without Jesus, you're lost. For we all have sinned. You're a sinner. Let's make that realization first of all. Amen. We all are. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, realize that Jesus died for your sins. Did you know that? Jesus died for your sins this morning. Man, that ought to make you grateful. Put up a smile on your face. Jesus died for your sins. He took the punishment that you didn't, that you could have taken. I tell the story often of a father who was about to discipline his son because he did something wrong, and his father brought him out to the woodshed. Remember those days? Amen, the woodshed? Or the switch? I remember those days. Listen, it straightened me out a lot, amen? We ought to go back to the wood. Never mind. But anyway, I remember the impending judgment every time I got in trouble. Like I said, my kids got it from me. My father always said this, if there is trouble to be found, Fred has a good nose for it. And I remember one day, see, I got to tell you this. So one day my father used to work the sugar cane and he would come in hot from the fields. And I remember he stuck his, I took a drumstick, my brother played the drumstick, I took a drumstick and I stuck it in the fan to see what it would do, and it broke the wing. I mean, the wing right off of the fan, and the fan started going. So what did I do? What every normal child does. Well, anyway, my father came in, and he was hot. I remember he was sweating. I mean, he just turned. He had his plate of food. he did the first thing that he usually does, to turn on that fan. He wanted relief. And all of a sudden, the thing hopped off and fell off the table. His first words out of his mouth were, "Frank!" There was four other kids to choose from, but he knew who did it. And listen, this child that got in trouble, all of a sudden, he gets in trouble and he decides to do that. He lies about it. His teachers send a note. Remember the days when teachers would send notes with you? Now they mail them in or email you, you know. But back then, they used to give it to you and say, "Deliver this to your folks." So he took that note and he hid it in his pocket, thinking he got away. And so the father, when they got together at dinner that evening, like the, you know, families usually do, right? They got together that evening, and he said, "How was your day?" And he said, "It was wonderful. I had a great day in school today." And the dad father said, "Really?" And he said, "Yeah, I did. I had a wonderful day." And he said, "Well, I got a call from your teacher." "Oh." "And she said you had something to give me." So all of a sudden, the boy pulls out a note from his pocket, gives it to his teacher. She opens it, gives it to his father. Father opens it up, and he says, "Go wait for me in the woodshed." And all day, listen, that boy was in there just thinking about the judgment that was coming. Remember those days when you were sent up to your room? And your mother said, "Wait till your father gets home." And fathers cared back then and did something about it. Remember those days? "Wait till I get home." And so all of a sudden, that boy's waiting in that woodshed, knowing that it's coming. And all of a sudden, the father comes in, and he's carrying a switch in his hand. And the boy's ready to receive the pain. And all of a sudden, he sits there in anguish, thinking, "Man, this is going to hurt. Because punishment ought to hurt, amen?" But he sat there, and he's thinking about the punishment. He's going, all of a sudden, he just hears the stick go up and come down, and he feels nothing. And the second time, the father draws up. He goes, "He must have missed." And so all of a sudden, he's ready, and he comes up. And again, he feels nothing. It goes on six times. Finally, the boy turns around, and he sees that his father has struck himself upon his leg. He said, "Son, why?" He said, "Dad, why did you do that?" He goes, "Son, because I wanted you to see what Jesus did for you. He took the punishment of the sin that you were guilty of. And I want you to know that's what the cross is all about. That's why he's the light of the world, because upon the cross, he took the punishment of what I am guilty of. Sin that I was born with. But only he can forgive sins." Today, he wants to be your light. Listen, he got to the point of the misery of his blindness. He saw the supremacy of a Savior. And he made a cautious decision. My accent came out. Sorry about that. He made a conscious decision to believe and accept what he had seen in his own life. Where are you today? Here's the problem. Like I said, we're all sinners. Here's the good news. Jesus died for your sins. Here's ever better news. You can escape the judgment of God in hell by giving your life to Jesus Christ today. Isn't that good news? My question to you is, where are you? Are you in the point of saying, "I know about him. I've heard about him"? Or are you to the point where you said, "Yeah, they talk in my church about him all the time"? But have you gotten to the point where you have received him as your own personal Savior? You can have a home in heaven. Here's the greatest things I found out. When I got saved, I got rid of my sin. Whew, man, I'm glad. Secondly, listen, I didn't lose anything. I got a home in heaven. I got forgiven. Wow! And today, that offer still stands from God. The only thing you have to do is accept it. Let's bow our heads. You're here today. You may have your own blind.